Well, praise you, Jesus. Thank you for watching tonight, all of you. And so let's just pray and get started. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we give you all the praise and glory. We thank you for every one that is here and is part of this lesson. And we give all the praise and the glory to you because you're taking us in and building us towards a final end. And we give you all the praise. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for the Word of God, for the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. We love you. We praise you. We commit all things to you, Lord Jesus, in this time. And we, amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So we've passed out to honor the Lord. We've passed out two prophecies. The first one is very, very short, just a paragraph. But it came last, I believe this was, it was on September 17th. That tells you when it was. Okay. And its miracles are found in the secret place. So let me just read that, and then we're going to go to our second prophecy and also the subject matter of tonight's teaching. So miracles are found in the secret place. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. But give yourself over to this place of edification, lifting up the high praises. For in it are the miracles that you seek for yourself, and then for those that will be brought in this outpouring. But I desire to come to you, that's us. I desire to come to you first. Old standing things in your body, along with new things that come with viruses and diseases and things like the come to fight, to distract, afflictions and persecutions, he even named car wrecks, things breaking down, and the continual preaching of your body to you that nothing changed in the prayer of faith. So your body will try to preach to you. What's that? It's like, I'm still here. I'm still here. And then September 27th, which was, I believe, was that last Wednesday? Daystar Breaks the Morning. And that's the title that has been given to this, and I think it's a good title. So let's look at it together. I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to read another prophecy right behind it. So follow along with me. I have seen the cries of your heart, all those who are pressing in to this passion, whether here in this place or those that are watching and viewing, that's you tonight. It doesn't matter how far you are scattered abroad, your authority and your unity is not in the physical, but it is in the Spirit, says the Spirit of grace. So continue to bring forth this final intercession. You know, we've been talking a lot about intercession lately in these last days. You will shore up other places where you are and in other places where revival is scheduled, says the Spirit of grace. In other words, what I can understand from this is I can help Tulsa. Tulsa can help me. I can help Jim Martin. They can help us. And wherever you're at, whether you're not, whether you're in those places or not, whether you're scattered out, we got friends in Colorado that's watching us and Wyoming that's watching us and all over the place. Texas, a lot of people in Texas, some families in Texas, Louisiana, Georgia, you know, Alabama, Tennessee, a lot of wonderful people in Tennessee watching us. But yours can be your authority. We can borrow on your authority and you can borrow on ours because we're all headed to the same place. The word says, or the prophecy says, your place is to stay in me and give yourself over to me in the obedience that I have prescribed to you in the Spirit, and ask you, and you knowing my voice, says the Spirit of grace. But know this, the enemy against revival has stirred up his passion against this place and other places to stop the final move, but press forward, says the Spirit of the Lord. Do not look to the right or to the left. We've heard that so many times, but he continues to speak it. But stay bridled Bridal to me, laser focused. Can you say laser focused? I love to hear that term. On the very things that I have spoken to you, says the Spirit of Christ. And you will walk past. You will walk past and you will find the day star. Now that's the term that we're going to turn to in just a moment, find that in Scripture, but it's very important. You'll find this day star, the day star breaking the morning. And more things will come online. And you will find that which you have searched for all of your life becomes a reality. Not only in the spirit, but in the natural, says the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, turn with me to 2 Peter, the first chapter. And we'll begin looking at verse 16. So 2 Peter 1:16. If you're watching, those that are here, please turn to that scripture so we can learn together, be taught together. Hallelujah. We're going to witness Peter's testimony. And his testimony of something that he encountered while Christ was on the earth with him. And he's going to give us his sworn testimony, which is great. It's very important. But out of this, we're going to see something even more that Peter, by his own testimony, says that it's even a higher order of God's authority than even his own testimony by which he's going to testify. So let's look at verse 16. For we have not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses. Well, he's giving you basically a sworn testimony. This would be like swearing in somebody to a court. And so Peter's saying, I'm giving you something that I saw for myself. But were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he, that's Christ, received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, if we went back, which we're not going to do for sake of time, to Matthew 17, when Jesus took Peter and James and John to the Mount of Transfiguration, it says an exceeding high mountain. I've looked at that recently, not today, but I remember recently looking at that particular mountain. And it stands as a standalone mountain. It's incredible. It has a long plain all around it, but it's a very high place. And so Jesus took them to that place, and there the word says he was transfigured in front of them, and his clothes became like glowing, like no fuller soap could possibly, that's the best that they could describe. And there was a glory cloud, an absolute glory cloud, in which Moses and Elijah stepped through a portal coming from no place other than Abraham's bosom, that's where they were at. And so here they appear. So this whole thing that we're reading tonight is a testimony, to start with, of Peter's being part of that. He was so privileged to be a part of that. And so he's giving testimony to this. And he says in verse 17 again, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. So that's what he's talking about, that incredible, excellent glory. This is my beloved Son. They heard that. That's the same thing he said on his coronation, when he coronated him in the River Jordan by John. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. For we have also a more, now this is very important. After he says that, after he gives his sworn testimony, he says this, For we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that take heed, that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your heart. I'm reminded that I had another, let me see if I can find it here. It was amazing that we received from the Lord this word day star just a week ago and the significance of it. But due to our, I will call it our mothership, which is Tulsa and the great team that they have there, I was also forwarded another prophecy that was given actually 25 years ago. This one that we just recently read, or that we just read a few moments ago, was given in September 27th. But this was given September the 23rd, 1998. And the only reason it's from the Lord. I'm going to read it because it's from the Lord. And the other part is it has the mention of Daystar in it. And due to the incredible word search program that they have there, they were able to say this is something that hasn't been spoken that often. In fact, it's been like 25 years since the Lord spoke this as far as the prophecies that are in their reach and everything that they have logged in. So I'm sure maybe the Lord's spoken this in other places. But this prophecy was given on September the 23rd, 1998. And I'll just tell you, it's by our good friend Gary Carpenter, the day star of Christ in you. Now listen to this, because it goes along with what we're saying tonight, and that's why I want to read it. A new day is dawning, and the day star of Christ in you is even now arising in the hearts of many. And as the light of that truth begins to break upon your soul, not just your heart, and you begin to walk in the light of that truth of Christ in you, it shall be a new day. Much shall have to be discarded as the dregs left in the bottom of the keg from the old wine. Much, but in this new day, as with new vessels, I am filling you with new wine, says the Lord. And as this wine fills your vessel to the very brim, by my Spirit, I will serve the life of Christ to all who would come and drink. And of his Spirit they shall drink to the full. And there shall be healing in their spirits, and there shall be healing in their souls. Yes, there shall be healing in their bodies. For I will exalt my Son in you, and as he is lifted up in you, I shall draw all men to this place, that they may also partake of his life. For it is my gift unto you who would name his name. A new day, says the Lord, a new day as the day star of Christ in you breaks over the horizon now, and that light breaks forward upon your soul. Even your understanding shall not be as it has been in days past. For where there is no understanding, the enemy comes and quickly removes my truth. But you shall walk in the understanding of these things, says the Lord, because of the unction I have placed within you. Deception shall be far from you, and you shall walk in the light of day. For this purpose I have sent my Spirit, says the Lord. Amen. So Peter says, as we just read in verse 19, for we have a more sure, this is important, word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. 20 and 21, verse 20 and 21. Knowing this, this is important, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came, and he's talking about encompassing not just any one particular, all prophecy, and he's particularly talking about messianic prophecy here. I'll read this and then I'll explain. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now let me read out of the Amplified those same amount of verses, and you can just sit and listen and enjoy what we just read out of the King James. It'll maybe amplify or help a little bit for you. For any, here he goes, giving his testimony. For we being who, him and Peter, I mean, it was Peter, James and John. For we were not following clever devised stories when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus the Messiah. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, grandeur, authority of sovereign power. For when he was invested with honor and glory from God the Father, and a voice born to him by the splendid majesty, majestic glory in the bright cloud that overshadowed him, saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased and delight." We actually heard, he said, we actually heard this voice born out of heaven, for we were together with him on the holy mount. And we have the prophetic word made firmer still. The King James says we have a, how does the King James say it? It says a more sure word of prophecy. For we have a prophetic word made firmer still. You will do well to pay close attention to it as a lamp shining into a dismal, squalid and dark place until the day breaks through and the gloom and the morning star rises, coming into being in your hearts. Yet, first, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of any personal or private or special interpretation, loosening or solving. For no prophecy ever originated, this is very important, ever originated because some man willed it to do so. It will never come by human impulse, but men spoke from God who were being born along, moved and impelled by the Holy Spirit. So what was Peter saying? That's important that we understand. We've read King James and Amplified. I hope Amplified helped you a little bit. He gave sworn witness to the testimony that God confirmed that Jesus was his beloved Son. So we saw that, right? This is sworn. I'm telling you, as Peter, I heard this, that God confirmed that Jesus was his beloved Son. So he's confirming that Jesus was the Messiah. By his own private showing, he was part of that. I mean, who wouldn't want to be part of seeing a glory cloud, Jesus transfigured, seeing two Old Testament, a prophet and the epitome or the leader of the law, which was Moses. And seeing all that, Peter gives testimony. But the testimony was this: I'm sure, and I give you testimony, that God has confirmed or affirmed that Jesus is his beloved Son. He gave sworn eyewitness testimony that God confirmed Jesus as his beloved Son. And yet, this is incredible. This is so incredible, and it'll speak volumes to our faith walk. And yet he testified there was something even higher than his own personal sworn testimony, and that was the prophetic scriptures that testified who Jesus, the Messiah, was. That's what he's saying. He's saying there's something higher, and then he goes into talking about that all these Old Testament prophetic scriptures, what were they doing? They were confirming who Jesus was. So I want to stick to my notes, but I get excited. I think about Peter saying this, and at the same time, his words actually became part of the canon of Scripture. But he was saying, let me refer back to something higher than my own personal witness. And the higher is this, the Old Testament words that came by men who spoke of the coming Messiah. And they prophesied and confirmed by the word of God. So I hope you see in this the standard of how high the apostles held the word of God. My eyewitness, but I want to tell you, there's something stronger and more affirmative than even my eyewitness. It's this written scripture, the word of God. Hallelujah. Yeah, my God, that'll get you going right there. Peter was giving total sovereignty to the power of God's written word. This was amazing, as I said, because what he was writing would become part of the Holy Scripture. But at the time, he's saying, this is my testimony, but let me refer you back to something that's a higher standard. Every apostle and every great man or woman of God since the days of the apostles that worked in extreme power of God gave, I'll say this term, carte blanche authority to Scripture. In other words, full discretionary authority I turn over to the Holy Scriptures. If you've ever read or heard or, you know, accurate stories, I think there's a lot of things that maybe are said that, you know, are just, you know, people really, love have certain heroes. But if you have men like Smith Wigglesworth, I've heard he raised 12 from the dead, and I've heard 14. But any at all is good. It's really good. John G. Lake, you look at these guys, Kenneth E. Hagin. But these are guys, you know, if you look at Smith Wigglesworth, who was an incredible, they call him the apostle of faith, and had incredible miracles that took place and raised a lot of people from the dead, and had, I've heard about some really creative miracles that took place, and but God had his hand on that man. But what earmarked him more than anything else was his, as I said, carte blanche, his absolute, the word of God. He wasn't a man that was moved by emotions or the present tense situation. And if there's a common thread starting with the apostles and going through what I would call my particular heroes, is that these men were men that just held the word of God, sometimes very unemotionally, to a standard that standard eventually turned the circumstances, absolutely turned the circumstances. You look at, you know, by way of example, John G. Lake. He was an apostle for many years, or a missionary and evangelist for many years to Africa. And you know, have heard the stories of the bubonic plague, and I've rehearsed those even recently, and how that there was a miracle there, and so many different things. But then God transitioned him out of Africa, and he had great and notable miracles there. But when he came to America, he started a healing school in Spokane. Have you heard of the healing school before? And you know, I don't know what their modus of operation. I don't know their mode of operation in that healing school. You know, I've read reports where there were a number of years that it was the healthiest city in the United States. The Surgeon General actually declared it as the healthiest city, less disease, less sickness, less hospitalization. Some way it was classified as the healthiest city. And that was during that time where he had the healing schools. Well, the healing school wasn't like a church meeting. It was a school where people would go who had illnesses, and they would divide off into like classroom settings, and they would divide off and they would go into, you know, these places, and there would be a team that would work with them. And John G. Lake, boy, that mic is really messing up tonight. That team would really just was trained directly by John G. Lake. And what we see from that is, what we catch is a, is that this man, poured himself out into them, and it wasn't an emotionalism, but it was just an absolute on the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. Well, the report was always, this is what I've heard, is that three out of the five people that were, went there, whether they had terminal illness or whatever they had, that team would work with them. And, you know, that team would pray for them, stay with them. Sometimes it might take weeks, but if they continue to work with them and work with them and work with them, eventually those people would get healed. And it wasn't through emotion. It wasn't through anything that they felt. But like I said, these men took on, I just love Peter for saying this and teaching us this, is because he's saying, you know, I saw it. It was wonderful. I can testify he's the Son of God, because I heard it straight from the, from God the Father. But you know what? Let me refer to even something higher than my own personal testimony, the written scriptures, the Word of God. And that's what these men, like John G. Lake, he would pour himself into these people, and they would just go and hammer something. And I think one of the things that has been lost in the modern church is that, should I go with a handheld, or I don't like the handheld, but I'll try it if I have to. One of the things that has been lost in the modern church is just a stick-to-itness, just staying in there, until it gets done. And that is only by the Word of God. That's only, you can't repeat emotion and get anything done. But if you get in a place where you're standing on the Word and you will not back off of the Word unemotionally, whether you see it, don't feel it, you don't see anything. But these people would go and they would hammer something until they hammered it out. Three out of five would get healed within a really, what word can I use? Reasonable amount of time. And as a result, the other two, you know, they would, a lot of times they would say maybe one would not get healed, but eventually, if they stayed at it, the four out of five would get healed. Kenneth Hagin has been, you know, he's been, oftentimes, you know, complimented as the, an apostle of teaching faith. And one, you know, here's a man that was so spiritual. I think about all these guys, they were so spiritual in that they had results. They had results. Kenneth Hagin, taught faith. And, I'll go back and I'll listen to some of his old, visions. And they've got some of them. They've got three or four of them on YouTube. And he'll tell his sworn testimony of Jesus coming and getting him. And I believe him. I don't believe he was lying. Jesus, I mean, now sometimes people say, I saw Jesus, but they're not talking about, you know, they're talking about an inward. He's talking about, I mean, Jesus come and got him, and those kinds of things. And he never kind of builds that up, and he didn't have it every day like some people, but he had it. But these incredible, fantastic things that took place in these men's lives. And yet, if you'll trace them back, some of the greatest men of faith and some of the greatest men of miracles were those who just said, I put the Word of God above all, above everything. And whether I see it, I don't see it, I'm not moved by emotions. I'm moved only by the Word of God. And that should teach us a great lesson, shouldn't it? An absolute great lesson continually. Peter was saying, trust me in what I'm telling you, but even more importantly, I love this, trust the Holy Scriptures that came not by men's interpretation or willpower, but by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hey, shouldn't this give us some stick-to-itness? my finances. Oh, grind it out, punch it out, punch it out. Go an hour or two right in the face of it. My body, my body, my body. Get in there and fight it out. Fight it out. Speak it and speak it and speak it and speak it. Knowing this, that we have a more sure word of testimony. Oh, glory to God. About to have a running fit, as Gary said. Every current blueprint prophecies, anything that anybody that we love and appreciate prophesies, every current present day, prophecy stands in the scrutiny of all written scripture. I need to read that again, okay? Every, what I say, what Jim Martin says, what Gary says, what Alan says, whatever Dave ever said, all spoken, our present tense, present day prophecy stands under the scrutiny of the written scriptures of God. It only becomes equal to the Word of God by its passage of being approved by the Word of God. Hallelujah. Anything I say, anything that you hear prophetic, it's got to pass this test. If it does, then it becomes the Word like this is the Word. But everything, like Peter said, let me give you a more sure word. What is that? It's the written word of all those prophecies from Isaiah, the psalmist, all of those prophecies of who Jesus was and would be. Hallelujah. We got something bigger than our emotions backing us up. We got something bigger than our bodies preaching to us backing us up. We've got something bigger. Hey, somebody said, I heard from the Lord. There's nothing like hearing from the Lord. But if in the fight, your hearing from the Lord gets dismal, like my body's preaching to me and he said, now I'm questioning. Did I hear from him? Well, go back to a higher word. Go back to a much higher word than even what you heard. That's a good word and it's the word of God, but there's something higher than that. There's something higher than you hearing. It is this written scripture. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good, okay? What must I do to be born again? Praise God, we got a preacher in the back. Hallelujah. Every current present, get this in you and always keep this in front of you. Every current present day prophecy stands in the scrutiny of all written scripture. It only becomes equal to the word of God by its passage of being approved by the word of God. Hallelujah. Nothing stands of private interpretation. As I said, the blueprint prophecies, it doesn't matter. Everything stands in the light of scrutiny. Again, 2 Peter 1:19, for we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day star, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your heart. Now let's just talk for a few moments, because we got it, about the day star. What's he talking about, the day star? Peter was saying this, that the coming of the full revelation, the full revelation of who Jesus was, would be like the light of the day star, which is, what's the day star? It's the sun. The day star is the sun. That's what he's talking about. That no shadow could eclipse its light. You know, if I like to sit out early in the morning, face the east. If it's not a dismal day, if there's not a hurricane or storm coming, if we got blue skies, there's nothing escapes that sun coming up. That day star comes, it just covers. And at some point during the day, there's no shadows. I mean, it'll pierce when it's high overhead. It gets everything. The day star covers everything. It's not like the moon or Venus or Mars or Jupiter or any. The day star eclipses all shadows and comes into full illumination of everything. So what's Peter saying? What about this day star? Well, Christ is the day star. He's the one that should be coming with great illumination. But he says that this illumination starts with the Holy Scriptures, that which has been prophesied of him. And if we do well, we'll do well to take heed to those things, get invested in those things, because as a result of it, he says this. Peter was saying that the coming to a full revelation of who Jesus was would be like the light of the day star, which is, we know, the sun. No shadow could eclipse its light. Neither can any darkness in our life in the full revelation of the Son of God. If you get a full revelation, not something I pass on to you, but something that you continually receive through prayer and meditation, if you receive who he is and you know him in the light of his Holy Scriptures, darkness can't stay in you. People don't have to preach righteousness to you, because if you see it, you'll walk in it. If you really see it and see who he is, the full revelation of who he is, there's not but one conclusion. That is to be conformed to it. Now, I like what I said. What I read here is that that he says that we have a more sure word. Let's talk about that for just a moment. What more sure words of prophecy do we have concerning our assignment? Because we talk about revival, which is the fullness of the kingdom, right? It's a reviving back to the fullness of the kingdom. There's a lot of prophecy. A lot of prophecy spoken from this pulpit. A lot of prophecy spoken from that we get present day speaking prophecies from different sources. And they're all good. They're wonderful. But again, if we look at it in the light of, I'll just pick on this pulpit. Wonderful things, blueprint prophecies, which has a lot to do with the coming revival and intimacy and stealing away with him and attaining to that place of intimacy with him. But if we look at this in the light of we got a backup that's higher than that, which is a more sure word of prophecy, which is the written scriptures, what written scriptures do we have? Okay, Pastor, thank God. Yes, you've prophesied. We love you, Pastor. We believe you're a man of God. We believe you hear from God. I don't think you were just, you know, prophesying on your own. But what more sure words of prophecy do we have? Well, let me just give a few. We can't exhaust those in time. Joel 2:2. We love Joel. We read from it often. And this is part of Joel 2:2. You can listen or you can write these down. This is just part of that last part of the verse. Joel 2:2, a great people and strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to years of many generations. So there's a prophetic word. You know, Peter said on the day of Pentecost, the Lord said, in the last days I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And we have that scripture as well. But here he said there's going to be a group of people in the last days that he says that there has not been ever the like. Even the first church is going to be paled by the last church. Can I get an amen? There shall never be any more after, even to the years of generations. And then Joel 2:28 says this, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days I will pour out of my spirit. So he's prophesied in the last days that he will, you know, yes, there's a revival coming, but Joel says there was an end time revival. James 5:7 says this, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receives the early and latter rain. So what is God saying, or what's the scripture saying here? That God is waiting for the harvest of the earth. He's not going to come back until there is a worldwide harvest. and it will be an eclipse. The eclipse will be this. It will eclipse the early rain, you could say Pentecost and the outpouring, and the latter rain, whatever he does at the end. So there's a more sure word of prophecy. Are we going to have revival? Yes. Read the blueprint prophecies. But let me give you a more sure word of prophecy, something written. God saying he'll wait till the end, until the early and the latter rain can conform together and the great harvest takes place. That's when he's coming. Does that sound like revival? My God, sounds like a more sure word of prophecy. I love this one. I got to give this one to credit to Homer. He came up with this one. He was talking years ago about this. Matthew 24:12. And because iniquity shall abound, this is Jesus, the love of many. He's prophesying about the end time events based on what his disciples questioned. Because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel, everybody say this gospel. This gospel of the kingdom, of the kingdom, of the kingdom, of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Here's a more sure word of prophecy. This gospel. What gospel? Good news? Yes. Jesus saves. Praise God. Went to the cross? Yes. But the gospel, he said, this gospel, the one that I'm preaching. The one that I'm preaching is a gospel of demonstration. It's not just talk. I preach and then I demonstrate. I teach and I demonstrate. I demonstrate with power. And this gospel, so that has been, you know, we've just thought so shallow, and as that's been so shallow presented in a very shallow manner, is that the evangelism of the truth of salvation in Jesus' name, which is a major part. It's the core. But it's not, in the sense of the word, an island in itself. It is absolutely connected with the gospel, which is the good news. That Luke 14, verse 18, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Recovery of sight to the blind. Absolute names all of everything that is encompasses this gospel. This gospel will be preached. And I'll tell you, one of the greatest witnesses that we have, when Jesus started out what he just said, he said, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that endures unto the end, the same shall be saved. That in itself is that's a more sure word of testimony. Why? Because what are we seeing? What are we seeing in the body of Christ? We're seeing this dichotomy. This is what he's saying. Two things are going to be happening at once. The best and worst of things. The best is that there will be evangelism with a power flow that will verify through miracles the gospel message. At the same time, there's a great turning away. There's a great waxing cold. There's five virgins that stay with their lamps lit. There's five virgins that eventually lose out. Because they wax cold. The distractions of life. And so we see that. We see that already at work. 2 Peter 3:3. Let's look at this, because we do have a few more minutes. This is such a wonderful, powerful chapter. 2 Peter 3. I don't think that there's a place for me to start other than just to start reading. But that's good. We love the Word of God. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both, which to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise? Where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, in other words, the apostles and those who were original eyewitnesses, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly look at this. There will come a time that they will willingly be or ignorant of that by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. In other words, there is really no time with him. This is why he can be patient. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Now, there's more there, but we're going to skip on down. I'll just want to close with this. When Peter talks about here, that they will be willingly ignorant because one of the reasons will be because of this gospel being demonstrated. In other words, they will come in the last day. God is, in his sovereign love, is waiting for a generation that will judge the earth. You know, here's how wonderful God is. Just on the basis of Holy Scripture, he could judge the earth right now. But he's waiting for an end time harvest group of people that are working in and walking in righteousness, holiness, and demonstrating the true gospel, so that those who will reject it and live after ungodliness, when he comes, he will say, there was a standard in the earth. Now, I'll tell you, right now, Jesus, some people are going to say, well, you shouldn't say this. He can do whatever he wants to, but not according to Scripture. Jesus really can't come back right now, because the Lord of the harvest is waiting for a generation to rise up, demonstrate a more sure word of prophecy, and say, we have been empowered to cast out devils, heal the sick, and preach an uncompromising word of God. Well, we don't see that in mainstream Christianity right now. So it's a weak, melancholy overall, in many facets, and there are streams like us that are coming forward, but it's going to be very visible in the last days. It's going to be very visible that the more sure word of prophecy has come to fruition in people's lives, to the word they're living after this. They're not making excuses, and then God follows them. God follows them and verifies, okay, yes, I'll come and heal who you have just prayed for, because you're not fornicating. I'll come and heal because you're not backbiting. You're not destroying with your tongue. You are following me, and I'm following you. You're following me, I'm following you. And I have said that in the last days, I will pour out my spirit. And here's the verification. And all these people will watch, whether educated, uneducated, low class, high class, middle class, wherever. And there'll be a standard in the earth. God will have a standard. He'll say, okay, here's the true gospel. You went through a great backslidden time, and there'll always be that other facet. The dichotomy is this. There'll be the true and the untrue, But there'll be such a standard of the true in the earth that the book of Revelation really is the God being able to judge. He really judges. This is not, you know, yes, Satan comes and he does a lot of, but this is the, eventually it turns into the wrath of God. It's just the wrath of God. And the reason why he's ever able to come and pour out his wrath, that we're not under the wrath of God right now. We're in partial judgment, just partial. But their full revelation wrath of God is coming. And the only reason why he can do that is he's so just and so loving is that there's not been a standard in the earth by which he can judge. Yes, Christ has come. The gospel has come. It's been lost. It's being rejuvenated now. He wants a generation to say, this is the true gospel. We call it revival, returning to, but it's all, what it is the true gospel. The blind see, the lame walk, and people live righteous. They live righteous. And God's going to verify that and say, okay, you know what? The reason why I can judge you on the day of judgment is because you saw it. You saw it once again revived in the earth. And we have a more sure word, countless words, that there is a generation that is coming to reveal that. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Stand with me. I love the word of God. Yes, I love the word of God. Yes, yes, yes. Jesus, thank you. So I pray you're blessed, and I pray that all of you that are watching will come and visit us again on Sunday and be a part of our service. We love teaching the word of God. We pray that these words from Peter concerning a more sure word of prophecy have blessed you tonight. Father, we worship you. We love you. We thank you for your great love to us and in us. We stand upon the word of God, and the word of God is enough. We couple this with all the wonderful prophecies that you've given us. And we count them as now equal with the word, because your word has judged these things. So we stand on your word, whether prophetically or written. But we know the higher standard, the more excellent, is the word of God, which is a more sure word of prophecy. So we thank you, Lord, that we have a backup. We have a backup to our backup to our backup to our backup. And it never fails. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you.